We have been handed a copy of the Fort Lauderdale Police Department report on the Quinshon Judkins incident. We're going to get back into the Guardians and the draft coming up in a little bit. And Mike Exisa from CBS Sports is going to join us at 1. But this is the police report. And a copy of it, Dan, is posted on our website. Is that correct?
For sure on our social media page at CL, or at 92.3 The Fan if you want to see it there.
All right. We'll give you parts of this. The charge is battery, touch, or strike.
Misdemeanor.
Severity is a misdemeanor, and there's one count. Mm-hmm. So I'll summarize. Quinshon and his girlfriend, mm-hmm. who used to be his girlfriend, then they broke up, and they got back together last month, apparently.
Oh, hang on, just before you even get into that, this is a statement from the victim.
Probable cause statement from the police officer.
What the police officer wrote based on the testimony of the
alleged victim.
Mm-hmm. Although and they're actually called the victim in this.
The victim, yeah. And he's called the defendant. Mm-hmm. Victim says that they flew to Fort Lauderdale together, and it was late in the evening. She had to go to the bathroom there in the airport. And then when she came out of the bathroom, they went to baggage claim. And then the gal says at baggage claim that the defendant, Judkin, says, "Oh, wow, I can't believe you. I'm so done with you." Victim said she had no clue why the defendant stated this. Then they hopped into their Lamborghini SUV rental. Apparently he got an advance, even though he didn't sign that contract. Just throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. And they got into that, and then they exit the airport in the vehicle. And the victim says that Judkins was showing frustration after he read text messages from family members. Doesn't say whose phone that he read them on. Apparently,
it also doesn't say whose family.
Either. Yeah, it doesn't say whose family. Victim says she was trying to explain to the defendant that the messages were not true. Victim stated she suffers from anxiety and began to stutter while explaining herself. Victim stated that the defendant then punched her in the mouth, chin area with a closed fist. Victim still had visible bruising on her chin area. Victim also showed me a photograph that she took the following day of her chin lip area. Bruising was clearly evident. Victim stated that the defendant pulled over at one point. She got out of the vehicle and called Judkin's mother.
Yeah.
And says she did not tell Judkin's mother what had just transpired. Victim advised she re-enter the vehicle but sat in the back seat. Victim stated the arguing continued. Victim stated she was still trying to explain the text, the defendant, telling the defendant that they were taken out of context. Victim then says that the defendant turned around while he was driving and struck her additional times in the left arm and thigh. Victim had visible bruising on her left arm and thigh. Victim also showed photographs that were taken just after the incident with similar bruising. Victim stated that while the defendant was striking her in the instance, she began to kick her feet in the direction to defend herself. Victim stated the defendant pulled into a restaurant parking lot, at which point she got out of the car again. Victim stated she ultimately re-entered the vehicle, told the defendant, "Don't touch me again." Victim asked why she didn't contact 911. Victim said she felt bad due to the recent success and career of the defendant. Victim stated she decided to contact police on today's date after speaking with family and friends and coming to the realization that something needed to be done. And here's a little history between them from the report. They resided together as a family between May of 2024 and December of 2024. Says the victim and the defendant were not in a relationship between December of 2024 and June, like last month, mm-hmm. when they rekindled their relationship. Victim stated she is currently and has previously been in an intimate and romantic dating relationship with the defendant. Victim stated the defendant's multiple physical strikes to her were against her will. Victim advised she desired prosecution. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Judkins was contacted by the police officer, invoked his Miranda rights, was not asked any questions. Placed under arrest, domestic battery, as he actually and intentionally, this is from the report, mm-hmm. struck the defendant multiple times against her will. Defendant transported to the FLPD jail for processing, later turned over to BSO Maine for booking. So that's the police report, Fort Lauderdale police report on the incident between Quinshawn Judkins and apparently his girlfriend. Police report doesn't sound good, Andy.
No, it's not good. And again, the NFL doesn't really care whether you're guilty or innocent. It's the story that's out there. So, and this is the probable cause statement.
You could say, you know, he said, she said, mm-hmm. except for the fact that A, she had pictures, and B, it was still visible, according to the police officer.
Well, I think the most, it said that, I'm trying to put this the right way. Was there a strike at the airport? You know what I'm saying? Was there?
It was in the car.
Was there any contact in the airport?
Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. She went to the bathroom. He apparently read text messages. Oh, wow, I can't believe you, and I'm so done with you.
Oh, well, let's see how this thing plays out. So it's not good.
That's the official police report from the Fort Lauderdale Police Department, and we'll see if more facts emerge from this, and then we'll see what the Browns do, what the NFL does, and what judicial system in Florida does.
And the NFL. I would think that just based on that report, again, it's not about being guilty or innocent. It's about the way you make the NFL look. And the NFL doesn't like to look like that.
Scream suspension, doesn't it?
Yeah, compared to, especially if you go back and look at other cases.
Yep. I mean,
so, and then if you go back and look at Mike Florio from earlier today, he was just said, and Mike had just said the bar on these things is normally 6 games. So, that's where you start. Although I let it play out. Again, I'm much more, Jeff, and I don't know if this is just a reflection of me and you, because we spent so many times in newsrooms, and I just had a million times where...
Between the two of us, we've spent decades working in television news.
I'm a big fan of letting the law play out rather than sitting here and passing judgment. Although, I mean, obviously reading that, it's not a... It doesn't make anybody look good. It especially doesn't make him look good. Doesn't make the league look good or make the Browns look good. Let's let facts come out, and we'll find out more as this story continues. I'd rather err on the side of not saying anything than saying so. And I know it's our job to sit here and have opinion and stuff like that. And we've seen this before in other cases before. And it's just you sit here and you're like, and you can go back and forth, and there are all kinds of arguments. I just hopefully the truth rises to the top here, and we find out what happens. So, but now we have a little more perspective on what brought this case to where it is right now.
Well, it obviously doesn't sound good. Mm-mm. If the police officer sees pictures and the pictures correspond with things that he actually sees on the alleged victim.
He still hasn't had a chance to defend himself yet, though.
Absolutely.
But he invoked his Miranda rights, which I'm sure was lawyered, right? I mean, that's not, I'm sure that he's had an attorney right away as soon as this stuff started going down. So.
Well, you would think so.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned. On that note, Browns rookies report to camp on Friday.
Oh, boy. Will he be here?
That's the question.
Although he wouldn't be here anyway because he's not signed, right? He hasn't signed his contract yet.
Nope. But you would think maybe they'd get that done.
You think they'd get it done now while we're in this limbo period? If I'm the Browns...
No, I meant before all this happened.
Yeah, you would... he's got to pay for that Lamborghini somehow, right? The rental on the Lamborghini. I'm sure that's not cheap.
Can I stop one? Let's take this whole thing out of it, okay?
Okay, it's all gone.
You're 21. What are you renting a Lamborghini for?
Because you're 21.
I know. Andy, I was raised so sensibly by my parents. I must just say. I saw a story the other day. Steve Young, Hall of Fame quarterback,
mm-hmm.
still drives a 2015 family car. I won't give the brand. It's got about 135,000 miles on it. And he said, yeah, I like new cars, but this thing runs really well. And it's kind of sentimental to my family, so I drive it all the time. But there you go.
What was it Clay Matthews Sr. used to drive around? He used to drive around a beater, didn't he?
I did a story on that car.
Oh, here we go. Story time with Jeff Phelps.
Clay married his wife, who I believe was his college sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
And she had an old Mercury Capri. Do you remember the old Mercury Capri? It was a little car.
Yeah, I had it next to my AMC Javelin, yeah.
It was about half the size of that. The Capri was a small car. Clay, though not, you know, the size of Bob Golic, was not a small guy. So, but what they would do...
And was it like a 78 Mercury Capri?
It's small. You see it. You're Googling.
I am Googling, yes.
And it was brown.
No way. That's way bigger than an AMC Pacer.
No, you said Javelin.
Oh, did I say Javelin? Sorry.
Yes, you did.
I meant... hang on a second.
Javelin's a great sports car, by the way. Javelins are really cool.
Maybe it
and
was,
Pacers
I'm sorry.
Are very unique.
It was a Pacer. It was an AMC Pacer, not a Javelin.
But
sorry.
The Pacer's actually even bigger than that. Capri's not very big.
Yeah, we had a
it's
Pacer.
A small car.
My dad had it for
what Clay did
2 weeks
was this. Every off season he went back home to California and lived with his family. He kept the Mercury Capri here. And so whenever he had to come to Cleveland, you know, for work, he had a car.
Just put snow tires.
But
on.
It was a beat up old Mercury Capri. And I said, hey, we got to do a story on your car. So we did. We went out in the parking lot after practice one day, and he gave me a tour of it. And I forget who it was in particular, but he said, see this dent on the hood? That's where so-and-so body slammed so-and-so when they were wrestling out in the parking lot. We were having fun.
Great.
That dent's a body slam. All right. On that note.
You know, if you think about it, the AMC Pacer was the predecessor to... SUVs before they got off the ground.
No, they weren't. They were just little cars with bubbles on the back.
Yeah, they had a little bit
like
of a hatchback.
Gazoo's head on the Flintstones.
I see a little bit of a precursor to SUVs in this thing. I certainly can. A lot
station
of
station wagons space. Were the precursors to SUVs.
Yeah, I disagree. I'm going to say the AMC Pacer, and you can just admit that you're
learn
wrong.
Learn your automotive
right.
history, and you'll know.
Was this written?
Plus, they had the travel alls and all that. Those were SUVs back in the day.
They what's a travel-all? Where you sat in the back? That was a station wagon.
Those great big Wagoneers and stuff. No, the travel-alls were bigger, like an SUV. I'll show you during the break.
Wayne drove an AMC Pacer.
Of course he did.
From Wayne's World. Yes, I didn't realize that was the...
When they were in the car doing the headbanging thing to Bohemian Rhapsody, it was in a Pacer.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, just so you know.
Thank you. Oh, I bow down to you, oh Lord of the car knowledge. Old time cars.
But you
thank
always
you.
Tell me that. And then now I drop some on you and you're
you
going to give me, you
but
know
it
what?
It wasn't like, I'm looking at an AMC Pacer and I'm going, well, this might have been the predecessor to an SUV. It reminds me, has little things
had
about it.
A great
it.
Big, like, you know, helmet head.
Yeah. That's,
anyhow,
I was in
the
one
of
my dad
are
was
drafting
driving,
power hitters.
My story.
Stop the earth.
Way better than your
stop
story.
Stop the right earth. Now. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the Fan. Anything new happens with Quinshon Judkins, we'll keep you posted. Rookies report camp starts on Friday. Will he be there? Probably, I would think. He's out. You know, he was released on bond, so I would assume he's there. And we'll see how it's handled by the Browns and the courts and the NFL and everybody else. Major League Baseball draft last night. Departure for the Guardians, Andy, as they drafted guys they don't usually seem to draft very often anyway. Other than one high school pitcher from Mississauga, Ontario, hometown of Bo Naylor and Josh Naylor, they drafted four college hitters, three of them outfielders and or first baseman. What'd you think?
I think I was excited, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't go much deeper than just the first pick because I was just like, okay, they got a guy that can hit some home runs. I was excited about that. I don't know how much more you could get, you know, how much more amped. I was watching ESPN last night, and I thought it was cool. I was like, the draft coverage seemed better, and maybe because I was watching ESPN, it had much more of an NBA or a NFL-type feeling to its draft, or at least the NFL before they started taking it on the road. So I thought it was much more fan-friendly to watch. I like the fact that, you know, that they did it at a theater where the All-Star game is.
Dude, our guys just drafted four college hitters.
Yeah, I know.
Who cares about a television product?
Well, I do, because it was the only reason why I was hooked in. I thought it was kind of cool. And so then I stuck around. And, you know, we were trying to eat dinner, and I was like, ugh. Can we wait a minute here? Because I want to see what the Guardians do.
We held off on dinner.
We held off on dinner.
Wow, Dan.
Oh, it was good stuff, Dan, man.
You think it doesn't matter at all, and look what Andy did.
Oh, you know what it was.
He held off on dinner.
It was Ohio City pasta, man. You can't go wrong on that. That stuff's so good. Oh, so good. So anyway.
Nothing on the philosophy? College hitters.
Yes.
These guys are all 21. That means they're usually
Jeff, I want to be track. I want to be super amped about this, but I'm not. You sit around, you look, and you see, okay, well, these are the guys that maybe they passed on in the past. It's the Major League Baseball draft. It's not the NFL draft where you have instant impact. It was like Tropical Storm said to me, oh, they got this guy. Good, maybe we'll see him before I'm done with college. This will be great.
Not at their age. They're not high school kids. These are college hitters.
So how far away? How long do you need to wait for a college hitter?
Could be next year.
It's still the Guardians. They still take their time on these guys coming
up. I wouldn't expect it to be, but I would expect if these guys hit, and I don't mean just like hit with a bat. I mean, if they land these guys, if they actually got guys who are going to make it, then I would think that 2027, certainly one of these guys would be up there. That's when you expect Travis Bazzano to be up here. This next year, right?
Yes.
So that's the
although he's hurt, so he could sit for another year in the minors.
That's the same timetable that these guys would be
on. He could easily spend another year in the minors.
People wanted Bazzano up here this season, and I thought, nah, hold on that. I would think next year. I still think next year. So with these guys, maybe if somebody comes out and is really good, they get the Nick Kurtz treatment and he gets brought up. The Jack Caglione treatment.
I know you're gonna hate me for asking this. What do you think the fastest the Guardians have ever brought somebody from the draft to the pros? Trying to think off the top of my head. Can you guys think of anybody in the last 30 years how fast someone's gone from the draft to the pros?
Off the top of my head, I have no idea. But remember, college hitters oftentimes move pretty quickly. College pitchers oftentimes move pretty quickly. Paul Skeens was up quickly. Mm-hmm. Chase Burns was drafted last year. He's up quickly. So you see that from time to time. I thought I was reminded of something, though, when they made these picks. I thought, well, that's different. And it's a little different than this, but, boy, they've tried this kind of before. 2016, their first-round pick, Will Benson, 6'5", big guy, hit it hard. Their second-round pick, same draft, 6'6", Nolan Jones, both high school kids. There's the difference. They've tried this before, but with high school kids back in 2016, they ended up getting rid of both of those guys. It just seems to me they didn't stick with it, but they were high school kids who projected as big-time hitters, and that's a little harder to project than college kids who project as big-time hitters. Why? Because instead of being 18, they're 21.
All right, I'll buy it. Look, I don't have any problem with what they did yesterday. In fact, I'm pretty excited about even just the way that you've laid this whole thing out. I'm just, again, I want to be totally pumped about it, but it's hard to because you're not going to see them for at least 2 years for the most part.
Well,
at least 2 years.
Maybe a year. Maybe one.
I'm looking back. Yep.
Maybe one. That would be nice. What do you think, folks? 216-474-0092. We'd love to hear from you because I honestly think that it's at the very least an acknowledgement that your system is void of this type of talent. And I also think, hey, Chase DeLauter, hey, George Valera, hey, Jason Churio, fellas, we're bringing you some company. So you can miss time like all you want. And if injuries are a problem, we don't want you trying to play through injuries because that's not good. But we're moving on.
At what point, though? I don't know. Chase DeLauter is going to get his shot. They're going to give him.
He's hurt, Andy.
As soon as he's healthy, he's going to get his shot. They're not walking away.
Let me know when that is, will you?
They don't walk away from their first-round guys that fast.
No, they don't. But they also don't put them on the field if they're injured, apparently.
I'm just going back and looking through their first round picks. And I mean, they hung on to Lonnie Chisenhall for a while. They hung on to Bo Mills for a while. David Huff ended up breaking the rotation.
Bo Mills was here like a week and a half.
That was pretty quick, wasn't it?
It was very quick.
Alex White, I don't even remember. Drew Pomeranz is still around, isn't he?
He's a pitcher. They went in the same deal.
Pomeranz with the Cubbies now.
Cubs, that's right. I did see him now. Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah.
Finally gave a run up like last week. Until then, he hadn't given a run up.
He's been really good.
Yeah.
Of course, he's about 35 now.
CeCe, I want to go back and look at history and say, all right, when should you get excited, right? When should you get excited?
I'm going to take Steve's call, and I'm going to hang up on him in about 10 seconds. Okay. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, come on. I went to Kent State. Do I get a couple of more? Can I get 20 seconds?
You got 35.
Depends on how absurd you sound.
And when you graduated to that. Makes a difference.
93.
Too young. Okay, keep going. Yes, no, I'm just kidding. All right. Just joking.
Yeah, so if DeLauder, who was a good hitter until he got hurt in college, is taking at least 3 years to get here, and he was a higher draft pick than where we're drafting this year, then how do we ever think that we're going to see anybody prior to 3 years in?
But Lindor was, what, four seasons?
Yeah, but he was 14 right. When he got drafted.
Well, maybe.
Oh, that's a good point. But, like, you know, we're dying for offense, and we've got 14. A few guys at AAA, and we can't bring them up.
That's what they just did. They brought in competition for all those guys that you can't bring up. George Valera's been injured. He was supposed to be the hot prospect. Chase DeLauder's been injured. He still is the hot prospect. CJ Cephas is the hot prospect. They won't bring him up.
Yeah, we're going to have great 4A players. We're going to be loaded.
Let's not count them. There you go, Steve. You got more than 10. Let's not give them 4A status yet. I mean, seriously, these guys, they might be here. Of the guys they brought up or just drafted, LaViolette. Now, we have to say it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
LaViolette, because Chase pronounced it for us, and we know exactly how he pronounces his name. Dan's going to have it for us one more time.
Okay.
But Jace LaViolette from Texas A&M.
Jace LaViolette.
There it is.
Thank you.
Is actually a center fielder. They kind of put him in right field. That's where they think he's going to project.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a big arm, very athletic, but he's playing center field in college. Dean Curley, mainly a shortstop at Tennessee. He's also played some second and third, but mainly a shortstop. Aaron Walton, who they just drafted out of Arizona, mainly a center fielder. And he's a center fielder at 6'3", 219. And then Nolan Schubert from Oklahoma State, big dude, hits it hard, 6'5", 223, outfielder, first baseman. I saw one projection that basically said, yeah, this guy is a DH in waiting. And I thought, good.
Good, let's get him up here.
Let's get him up
here. Can he hit today?
We're ready to go.
Right, I have another fun game we can play here in 1 minute.
You know the other thing that's interesting, Andy?
Sure. Give me something else that's interesting about guys we're not going to see for 3 or 4 years. Yeah, keep
it's
going.
Not
going
to be 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
These
go
guys,
to the Phantom Zone.
These guys are either going to be here or in another organization in 4 years. They're going to wait around. They're college hitters.
You want to play a fun little game?
Nope. Oh, what I want to say is this.
Okay, say it, then we're going to play the fun little game.
Two guys I think that might be the most interesting because they're similar.
Mm-hmm.
LaViolette and Schubert, both like 6'6", 6'5", 230, left-handed power hitters. And I think that's the duplicated skill sets there. Why? Well, good. If one of them makes it, you got one. I must tell you,
they're good at doing that.
I am very pleased at what they did, only because at the very least, this signifies, we know we need some power hitting. We know we need some outfielders. And big guys can also play baseball. Ask Aaron Judge. Ask Giancarlo Stanton.
Am I allowed to yell at Jeff before you play the game?
The game's kind of fun.
Does it involve a certain nickname for a guy that was drafted?
No, but okay. I did see that. That was funny.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah. The fact that we have gone this long and you haven't mentioned the guy's nickname is Lord Tubbington?
Lord Tubbington.
Yes. You've gone this deep into this and you've buried the lead.
Why is his name Lord Tubbington?
because his teammates started calling him Tubbs because he looked like a Teletubby.
That's exactly right. And they called him Tubby, and then it became Lord Tubbington.
So you're going to tell me he's going to find his way to Lake County, and at some point you might have Tugboat and Lord Tubbington on the same team.
And the guy who likes SpongeBob SquarePants to come up to the plate can't come up to the plate.
Now that, my friend, is elite.
Yes, he can.
I know.
He's in Japan.
The last time the Indians / Guardians first round pick was the first player to the bigs. Want to guess how many years? I'm not going to make you give me the name.
You mean out of the draft class?
Out of the draft class. Oh, the last time that happened.
Rick Banning.
Oh, no. It's more recent than that.
Who?
It's been 9 years. Bradley Zimmer was the first round pick.
And
the
see, Bradley didn't work out. And that's why these things are a crapshoot. That's why I'm glad they drafted four of these guys.
Before that, it was Tyler Naquin, who could be back.
Where did Tyler play his college baseball?
Let me guess.
Texas A&M.
Oh, I figured it was
just
Lamar.
Like Lord Tubbington.
Ah.
It's Baskin and Phillips right here on the Fan. 6 of 7, Andy, before the All-Star break.
I'm excited.
What 10-game losing streak?
It feels like it's over. You know, well, if they catch a break.
It ended 7 games ago.
I know, but it could. It feels like they evened it out. They're pretty close to evening out. You can laugh all you want. Sorry,
I'm laughing at Dan.
Sorry that I gave you my instant reaction to the fact that it looks like Dan's about to heave. It looks like he's heaving in laughter back there.
You are such a jerk, Jeff.
Yeah, I have my moments.
Can't we get someone to redo the song Dr. Feelgood to Dr. Redpen? Can't we just one time? Dr. Green.
This is an four-color pen.
So Jeff is the king of the four-color pen, too.
Oh, they're fabulous.
In case you're wondering.
Loves those. This one is not typical. It's a lime green, it's a light blue, it's a fuchsia, and a purple.
Congratulations to you on your multicolored pens.
Thanks. But I've used up some of them. I ripped some of them out. They're gone.
So if you run out of one color, do you have to go out and buy a new pen? It's like running out of Neapolitan ice cream and saying, "Wah, you ate all the chocolate."
Problem is, you
can
end up with three or four of these bad boys all at the same time.
And then only one pen works. Oh, that's
shame.
And
then you rip the ink out and you put them in the other one and you create your own four-color pen.
Are you serious? Have you done that?
Hey, Andy, my van had 396,000 miles. Do you think I'm going to throw away a perfectly good pen where two of the four colors work? No, I'm going to use it till I use up all the ink.
Again, I have visions of Bart Simpson going to the refrigerator getting Neapolitan ice cream, eating just the, or no, it's Homer, actually. Homer goes, and he just eats the vanilla out of it, and he goes, so you see the strawberry and the chocolate sitting there. He goes, oh, we need more of this Neapolitan ice cream. It's the Jeff Phelps way.
This is not a lifestyle for Jeff. It's truly an ethos. It truly is an ethos.
It's a big word, man.
Let's put it this way.
I got to Google that.
I'm not going to be renting a Lamborghini as my rental car. Right?
Hang on. Looking at the page.
Referenced earlier in our show.
Looking at the page and turning it over. Next. Yes. You going to watch the Derby tonight or not?
Yeah. You know, the Home Run Derby, it's okay. It's okay. Rob Manfred was just on TV, by the way, and he walked off set and almost ran right into the camera, like walking right at the camera.
It's all right. Nothing
it's a busy weekend for the Commission of Major League Baseball. I don't really like the format of the Home Run Derby.
Well, you know, they changed it again.
Now
here's
what is
the format now. Here's what's new. The first round now features all 8 hitters competing against each other simultaneously, with the top 4 advancing based on home run totals. So it's none of this head-to-head bracket-style stuff anymore. That's done. That's over.
I also don't think you should lose. Like, if you hit 25 bombs your first time, you shouldn't get set back to 0 in the next round. Somebody's got to come get you. They got to catch you.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to go back to 0. You're right. You should have a plus when you go into the next round, right? Why? I hate that they scrub it back to 0. Well, it's clutch. I don't know. I'm looking at some of these rule changes, and I'm still kind of confused. I'm just trying to find out who's in the Home Run Derby tonight. Are we going to be last-second cancellations? Are anybody going to show up at the last minute?
Tell me, is this a bad idea? This might be a bad idea.
I already
should the Home Run Derby be, you know, the long-time hitting coach? Should it be the longtime college coach pitching you BP from the platform from about 35 feet? Or should they set up a jugs machine on the pitcher's mound and have it throwing 86-mile-an-hour fastballs?
So that everybody has the same speed?
Everybody has the exact same pitch. And it's not just like BP home runs. At the very least, you're actually hitting from 60 feet, 6 inches, and trying to hit the ball out instead of just, you know, 35-foot basic little pitches coming in at about 40 miles an hour.
Jeff, I've never once thought about that, about leveling the playing field, and I'm going to actually give you credit for that because it's actually not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all, Jeff.
That's twice in this segment that you've said I was right or not a bad idea. Dan, can you make note July 14th?
The record has been noted thusly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wouldn't that be an interesting idea, though?
Your Honor. Thank you.
It's like when Pete Alonso won it here. Mm-hmm. You know, his cousin who went to Woodridge pitched batting practice to him.
Facts that make me sleep better at night.
That's all kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, what if you're a pitcher? Gets all tense and choked up and you can't hit any.
It's part of the game. I mean, it's like
the guys, I would think
you would
guys,
think you bring somebody in you could trust to throw BP.
I would think, but you know, these guys aren't used to being in front of 30,000 people on national television.
Most of the time they're coaches.
Sometimes
they're coaches.
Sometimes
most
they're cousins.
Guys, yeah, they get it. They understand it. You'd rather have them use the machine.
Would you like the machine?
No.
No, from 60 feet, 6 inches? The idea you just said was pretty good? Now you're poo-pooing it?
I just don't like it. I don't know. You know me.
So you changed your opinion completely.
Not really. I think it's okay. It's not a bad idea, but I don't want robots taking over the world. Next thing you know, they'll be calling balls and strikes. They're going to be calling balls and strikes in the game, too.
Got to have somebody out there feeding the balls in.
It's actually the challenge system.
You could bring out your own pitcher, and he could feed the balls in.
How about an option?
There's an art to it.
Would you like an option? You could either, A, have...
No.
You could bring someone else with you.
They've got to do it the same way. I would think, you tell me, would there be as many home runs off of a machine throwing at whatever speed they determine, say 85? 85-mile-an-hour fastballs, or would you have more home runs with the guy throwing from 40 feet or 35 feet and just throwing, you know?
I think you would have more home runs off the jugs machine because the ball would be going to exactly the same spot every time.
I would
think. And once you figured it out, it's just a matter of fatigue at that point.
I would think you would have more home runs off of the person throwing the ball the shorter distance. Because, for instance, and maybe you could adjust the machine to pitch where the guy wanted it to pitch. But, you know, if I'm throwing batting practice to, say, Joey Gallo back in the day for the home run derby, big left-handed power hitter, aren't you doing nothing but putting him on the inside corner of the plate and having him just kick out the right leg a little bit and just drive it down the line, pull everything?
Interesting point. Dan, what do you think?
Whatever.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, man.
That's a great contribution to the show, Dan.
If you had a jugs machine that was throwing to exactly the same spot every time, yeah, I think you would
close. Sometimes
I think you'd make hay. Once you found it, it'd be gone. And fatigue would be the only question in the home run derby then.
Which is pretty much already the question we're in the middle of right now.
So,
is who burns out fastest?
You know what you could do with that, though? If the jugs machine is throwing strikes, you step in there and you get, forget the clock, you get 12 swings because you don't have to wait for a better pitch. You know, now it's on the clock. What if you got, all right, here, you get 15 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
It would move along a little more quickly. I think the thing is some kind of boring. It would keep the guys fresher. You know, you wouldn't get exhausted swinging the bat for, and how long is each session? Is it a minute straight? You could slow down. You could build the drama.
I'm watching this for Cal Raleigh tonight.
Yeah.
That's why we're watching it. I want to see what Cal Raleigh does. That's it.
I feel like, okay, maybe that is a wheel that squeaks a little bit, but the biggest wheel that is squeaking is the fact that you can't get Aaron Judge to do the home run derby. And you can't get the top tier guys to want to go up there and slug bombs.
How many slam dunk contests has LeBron James
Case
been in?
And point
design. Exactly right.
That is what all these All-Star games need to figure out, is they need to figure out a way to get the top tier talented guys to show up and A, play in them, and B, be a part of the weekends as well. Until you figure that out, to me, it's all ancillary. You have got to figure out how to get Aaron Judge out there. You've got to figure out how to get Shohei Ohtani out there.
I would tell you, though.
Ronald Acuna stepping out of it now. It's like, what are we doing here?
Help me with this. Cal Raleigh or the field?
I'd say the field because it's a home run derby. I mean,
yeah, this isn't hitting home runs. This is putting on a sideshow.
Like that, to me, though, that's what you got to figure out.
Yeah, but I still go back to, and who was it, Dan? Who did we have on the show who I asked about the home run derby screwing up your swing?
Petriello, who says it's hogwash?
Yeah, Mike said it was hogwash.
Hogwash.
And I think that's interesting that he said that. I don't think players think that way. I think some players probably still think, yeah, I don't need to do that. Thanks. I don't want to mess with what's working. And I can't blame him for that. Can you?
No, I wouldn't want. I think I'd want to do it if I was young and I thought it was cool in the beginning. Yeah. Just at this point, it's like if you're an established veteran, I don't know that I'm doing it. What do you have to gain? That's a question.
That's a good question. Bob's in Garfield Heights. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Jeff, to your point, you really can't use a jugs machine. The batter wants to see that arm coming. That's why. So wherever you're going to throw from, they pick it up in the hand.
I get that, Bob. When you run a jugs machine, you can hold the ball up and time it, you know how that works.
But you got to see the motion, and that's what it is. You can't just drop it into the jugs and expect you don't see the ball coming out of the hand.
That's true, and thank you, Bob. But if you hold up a ball for a jugs machine, you know, and show it to
which
the batter.
Which is what you're supposed to do.
Exactly. Yeah. You show it to the batter, you put it on the rack, it rolls down and shoots. And that way, it's a similar timing type of thing. I think it might be a little bit more entertaining.
To have the jugs machine?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think if somebody got hot, it'd be super entertaining. And but if you can't find your rhythm there, then you got
to change the whole structure of it, though. I think you'd also have to get rid of the clock and just do a number of pitches. Anthony's in Cleveland Heights.
Heights. How about this idea for the All-Star game? And this goes for all of sports entirely. Why don't we just get rid of it? Because it's kind of outlived its usefulness at this point.
It's the one game that's worth a hoot, Anthony.
I'm actually glad that Jose is not playing. I wish Stephen Kwan would say I'd rather rest than play in this meaningless exhibition. But I will say this, though. How about this? 2028, eliminate the All-Star game, start the season a week early, suspend the season for 2 weeks when the Olympics start, let the players play in the Olympics, and put all the games at the cathedrals of baseball in the United States. Fenway, Yankee Stadium, Pac Bell Park.
Love it. Love it.
With the gold medal at Dodger Stadium. There you go.
Why not? Why about here? Why can't we do it here?
This not is the a best bad weather idea, Anthony.
Let's have the gold medal here.
Not a bad idea.
I know, Anthony. It's supposed to be in L.A. They're hosting, but why not?
I'll Mike Exisa covers baseball for CBS Sports. I can't wait to get his impression on what the Guardians did yesterday, where they took their whole concept of drafting either young pitching or college pitching, especially college pitching, or middle infielders who don't hit for power. Threw it out the window. Bring on the big guys who can hit it a mile if they hit it. Exisa next on Baskin and Phelps.